Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight for our time of ministry in the Word of God and our Bible study. Wherever you are, I hope you are enjoying God's shalom, God's peace. I hope you are enjoying this season and this time of our Daniel fast. This is the final week of the fast, and what a glorious time we have been having in the presence of the Lord. It's been awesome this last few weeks as we've waited on the Lord, come together as believers in our morning devotions, on Wednesdays, in services. What a glorious time this has been. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. I hope you have been as blessed as we have been. It's been awesome. It's been amazing. And I know the best is still ahead of us. This is just the last week of the fast. We're not completely done yet. So I encourage you to gird up the loins of your mind, your heart, and look to the Lord and expect great things. Expect the Lord to do great things. I'm so excited about what He has in store for us in 2025. And a lot of His words are coming to pass in our lives already. I mean, so much peace. In the midst of the turmoil in the world, there's so much turmoil in the world. Just about everywhere you look, there is some news of something or the other. But around us, within us, there is so much peace. Truly, this is the peace of God that passes all human understanding. That is our portion. And I'm so thankful that that promise from the Lord is established in our lives and is producing fruit. Glory to God. Whatever platform you're joining us on tonight, thank you for being with us. Wherever you are in this country or around the world, thank you. Thank you for being with us. We've been at this for just a little bit. I want to run, just have us get into the Word of God as the Holy Spirit will lead us again tonight. This is going to be our last Bible study, corporate Bible study, in this time of the fast. And after this one, we're going to take a break for a couple of weeks, just give you all time to rest, to decompress after the fast. A lot of our pastors and ministers also have been working. You know, those morning devotions have been awesome, amazing, and people have been serving in different ways, working. I know a lot of our families have engage with us in this time of fasting. So we would give ourselves a couple of weeks just to rest a little bit. I also know there are a number of people who have been going even since October, September, October of last year, and haven't had any kind of a break at all. So we're going to break off just a little bit after this Wednesday. And sometime by God's grace, before the end of February, we're going to come back on and get back on with the things that the Holy Spirit has prepared for us in this season. So let's share a word of prayer. Let's dive right into the Word of God. Father, thank you so very much for your mighty presence that is here with us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, the mighty Holy Spirit. We are so blessed to know you. We are so blessed to walk with you. We are so blessed to have your presence all around us. God, you have been so good to us in this season, and we are so thankful. I thank you, Lord, for all of my brothers and sisters, everyone under the sound of my voice. Lord, the great things that you're doing for us, our hearts are just so full of joy. Our lives are so full of peace. In spite of all the turbulence in the world, the peace of God that passes all human understanding, it guards our hearts. It garrisons our hearts and our minds. And we are kept by that, by the power of that peace. And I give you praise. I thank you, precious Holy Spirit, as we go into the Word of God tonight. I know that you help us. You grant us illumination and great grace to study the Word of God and to be blessed together. I thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. And I thank you so much again for joining us tonight for this Bible study. We're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit tonight. Glory to God. I hope you are engaging with that book. It's so small. Many of you have probably finished reading it. If you can, read it again. It says, it's the title, Knowing God More Intimately, How to Dwell in the Secret Place with the Holy Spirit. So powerful. There are a number of sections in the book about the Holy Spirit, but there's just one aspect of the ministry of the Holy Spirit that I want us to engage with tonight and kind of study together. You know, for the last few weeks, we've talked about the dew of heaven. We've talked about the presence of God. We've talked about cultivating habitual fellowship with God and all of that. And even as we've pressed into the Lord to know Him more, to be closer to Him, to be more intimate with Him in His presence, I'm so thankful that we are all growing together. We are all walking this journey, this road together. And I know something good is happening in all of our lives. Well, tonight, I want us to talk about the refreshing ministry of the Holy Spirit. We talked a lot about the dew of heaven, right? Yeah. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings God's refreshing to us from heaven. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us the dew of heaven. He's the one who brings coolness. It brings the coolness of the presence of God, the soothing, calming, comforting presence of God. It's called the Comforter. Jesus said, I will pray my Father and He will give you another Comforter. And we know that Allos, Elos, Parakletos. That's another one just like me, but He's not exactly like me, but He and I are one, and He will be with you. Elos Parakletos. And He's the Comforter. There's so many different variations of the meaning of that word, Comforter. His teacher, His advocate, His intercessor, His strengthener. He's the one who empowers us. He's the one who guides us. He's the one who leads us. He's the one who teaches us. I mean, and all of that wrapped together is the comforting ministry of the Holy Spirit. But Comforter means it brings a soothing, means it brings a comforting, it brings a calming. The presence of God is calming, it's soothing, and that's because it's executed by the Holy Spirit Himself. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings God's refreshing from heaven, and He gives us the dew of heaven for the refreshing and replenishing of our lives. Let's start out in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. I'm going to start this out from the New King James Version, but I'm also going to go and read from the Amplified as well as the Living Bible. This is Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. It says, this is the New King James Version of the Bible. It says, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing. Can you say those three words with me? Times of refreshing. Let's all say those three words again together. times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. The Lord comes with refreshing. God wants to give us times of refreshing. Oh my goodness. The Lord will eradicate all dryness out of our lives in the name of Jesus. Spiritual dryness, emotional dryness, intellectual dryness, physical dryness, dryness of the bones, dryness of the body, sicknesses, financial dryness, insufficiency, poverty. The Lord wants to bring a refreshing, times of refreshing into our lives. And how does he do it? How is he going to do it? By the Holy Spirit, by the presence, the person, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. As repent ye therefore, says turn yourself. So repent means to turn, is to change your mind and to turn to God. Repent and be converted so that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. The greatest obstacle to being, to enjoying the refreshing that the Holy Spirit brings, that he seeks to bring into our lives, the greatest obstacle to that is sin, or missing the mark, or indulging oneself in sinful behavior that is unpleasing to God. To allow oneself at any level to habitually practice sin, habitually practice wrongdoing, that is things that we know are wrong, things that the Lord has spoken to us about, but to habitually engage in doing that regularly. You know how we talk about practicing habitual, cultivating habitual fellowship with God? Well, the other part, the opposite of that, is cultivating habitual sin, is to allow the obstruction of sin and wrongdoing to become a habit in our lives, any kind, any form. And some, you know, some wrongdoing is intentional, some wrongdoing is unconscious, unintentional, but wrongdoing is wrongdoing. And once it comes to our attention, it becomes an obstacle to the move of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It says to turn away from that, because that's an obstacle. But when we turn away from the obstacle of wrongdoing and sin, the Bible says times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. Can you say those three words again with me tonight? Times of refreshing. Say those words again. Times of refreshing. God has times of refreshing prepared for you and prepared for me. Amen. Times of refreshing, where there's a coolness in the midst of the heat. That's why I like the way the Amplified puts this. There is a refreshing. Look at how the Amplified puts this in Acts chapter 3 and verse 13. So repent, change your mind and purpose, turn around and return to God, that your sins may be erased, blotted out, wiped clean, so that times of refreshing, of recovering from the effects of heat. See, that's how it describes times of refreshing. It describes it as recovery from the effects of heat. Where is the heat? In the world. Recovery, times of refreshing, recovering from the effects of heat, and of reviving with fresh air, and of reviving. That's how it describes times of refreshing. Recovering from the effects of heat, reviving with fresh air, that they may come from the presence of the Lord. That's what the Holy Spirit brings. He's the comforter. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. He brings times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. He brings a soothing. He brings a coolness. He eradicates dryness. When we walk with the Holy Spirit, we will not experience dryness in any area, in any season of our lives. When we walk closely with the Holy Spirit, remember, from Genesis to Revelation, all across the Bible, the Holy Spirit has been reported as being closely associated with water and coolness. With water and coolness from the very beginning. So I'm going to read a couple of scriptures in Genesis, and I'm going to read a couple of scriptures in Revelations. Genesis chapter 1, you know, from the very beginning. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, from the very beginning. It says, let's read from verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Holy Spirit has always been associated with coolness, with waters, from the very beginning of time. Remember when the Lord came, the presence of God came to visit with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden after they had missed the mark, after they had fallen into sin and disobeyed God. They allowed that obstacle of wrongdoing to get in the way of the refreshing that comes from the presence of God to their lives. When they missed the mark, when they fell into sin and disobeyed God, even when the Lord brought refreshing, even when the Lord came in the cool of the day, they went and hid themselves. They hid themselves from the presence of God because they missed the mark. But notice, the Holy Spirit has always been associated with a refreshing, with coolness, with waters. Look at it in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8. It says right there, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, it says there, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. The presence of the Lord always comes with the coolness. It always comes with a soothing. It always comes with a refreshing. The dew of heaven comes from the presence of God. The dew of heaven. The dew of heaven comes from the presence of God. You know, it's not just in Genesis, right through the Bible, and we'll read a few more scriptures. But if you look right there in Revelations, we've just seen this in in Genesis, but let's also read this in the book of Revelations, and let's see how the Bible represents in Revelations chapter 21. Let's read Revelations chapter 21, verse 6, Revelations chapter 22, verses 1 and 17. Revelations chapter 21 and verse 6. Notice how the Holy Spirit is always associated with waters, with coolness, with refreshing, with healing, with soothing, with comforting, hallelujah, with refreshing, with quenching our thirst, the thirst that comes from dryness, the thirst that comes from lack of waters. Notice how the Holy Spirit is always associated with quenching the thirst, the spiritual thirst of God's people. He's compared several times to cool waters, the river of life. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at Revelations chapter 21 and verse 6. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The fountain of the water of life. Hallelujah. I will give to him that is athirst. Hallelujah. Wherever there is dryness, wherever there is dryness, when the Holy Spirit comes in, he brings a refreshing. He brings fountains and springs of the water of life. Look at Revelation chapter 22, verse 1 and verse 17. Revelation chapter 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the river. Sorry, out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. He showed me a pure river of water of life. A pure river of water of life. That's representative of the presence of God. The Holy Spirit always comes with a refreshing. Even in the Garden of Eden, at the very beginning, there were rivers in there. There was a breath of fresh air, coolness. Every time God's people walk closely with God, there is coolness. There is a quenching of our thirst. There is an eradication of dryness. When we walk closely with the Holy Spirit, we can't no burnout. No. There will be no burnout. When we walk closely with the Holy Spirit, well, that's for so many reasons too, right? Because the Holy Spirit doesn't pile on. If we walk with the Holy Spirit, there's wisdom from the Holy Spirit. Look at God Almighty, our Father, the Father of spirits, the one who created all the heavens and the earth. After he walked, he labored for 6 days. The Bible tells us on the seventh day, he rested. And so burnout is impossible when we walk with God. When we walk with the Holy Spirit, because we will be operating under the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. When we operate under the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, burnout is impossible. Burnout is impossible. We cannot burn out when we operate under the presence of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Somebody say those three words with me again. Times of refreshing. Say those three words again. Times of refreshing. That's what the Holy Spirit brings. That's what the Holy Spirit always brings. Look at Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that hears say, come. And let him that is thirsty come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The Spirit and the bride, the Holy Spirit invites us to come. Those who are thirsty, those who are hungry, the Holy Spirit invites us to come and to take the water of life freely. The Holy Spirit always is associated with refreshing. He's always associated with coolness. The Bible says when he comes with a refreshing. He helps us, he revives us from the effect of the heat. The world is choked with heat. The world is under heat, is under fire. the world is cruel. The world and those that are living in the system of the world are constantly under the effect of heat, constantly drying, constantly burning, constantly suffering, constantly discomforted, uncomfortable. But the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, he brings the soothing presence of God. So when we walk with him, not just through the period of the Daniel fast, praise God, we're doing that. That's awesome. But we've got to do that beyond the Daniel fast, walking with the Holy Spirit. There's a lot in this book about walking with the Holy Spirit, dwelling in the secret place, with the Holy Spirit. There's a lot that helps us recognize the Holy Spirit, understand the Holy Spirit more, know how to walk closely with Him, know how to dwell with Him, know how to be pleasing to Him, know how to yield to Him, know how to acknowledge Him. And when we read it all the way to the end, and when we read it, don't just read it and forget it. Let's practice it. Let's practice it over and over, more and more. Because the more we walk with Him, He brings the refreshing from heaven. He brings the dew of heaven. He brings the coolness. Hallelujah. He brings the coolness. Glory to God. He brings the coolness. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isaiah, let's read this. I think I'm going to read this in the New King James version of the Bible. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah chapter 32 from verse 13 to 18. Let's read that. Let's read that together from the New King James version of the Bible. Isaiah chapter 32 from verse 13. Let's read that from the New King James. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Somebody make a commitment to walk closely with the Holy Spirit this year. Hallelujah. Not just for a season of the year. Not just for the first part of the year. Not just for some weeks in January. But right through the year. Let's commit to walking closely with the Holy Spirit. Let's commit to cultivating intimacy with the Holy Spirit, yielding to Him, acknowledging Him, making room for Him every day, every single day. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 32 from verse 13. On the land of my people will come up thorns and briars. Yes, on all the happy homes in the joyous city. Because that's when the presence of the Holy Spirit is not there, when we are not walking in habitual fellowship, cultivating the presence of God, and walking closely in intimacy with the Holy Spirit, He says, the land will produce thorns and briars, just like He did in the Garden of Eden. Remember, that was the judgment. God said, well, from now on, that land will produce thorns for you. But that was not the original. That was not the original plan. He says, on the land of my people will come up thorns and briars. Yes, on all the happy homes in the joyous city. Those homes were supposed to be happy. The families were supposed to be blessed. They were supposed to be enjoying the refreshing of God. But no, because they don't make room for the presence of the Holy Spirit, they don't walk closely and intimately with Him, instead of happiness and joy, they will have thorns. You know what thorns do? Thorns prick. Thorns discomfort. Thorns hurt. Thorns create wounds and scars. Right? In families, there'll be wounds and scars. In homes, there'll be pain. When the Holy Spirit is not given a central place there. Notice this. It's on the land of my people will come up thorns and briars. Yes, on all the happy homes in the joyous city. They were supposed to be happy homes, but instead of being happy homes full of the joy of the Lord, they were full of thorns and briars. Pain, hurts, wounds, anger, bitterness, emotional distress. My friends, my brothers and sisters, when the Holy Spirit takes residence with us, in our dwelling places, we have comfort. We have refreshing, revival from the effect of heat. Hallelujah. We don't have thorns. We don't have thorns and briars and hurts and wounds and pain. No, we don't. Hallelujah. Verse 14, he says, because the palaces will be forsaken, the bustling city will be deserted. The forts and the towers will become lairs forever, a joy of wild donkeys, a pasture of flocks. That is good places, a palace that is forsaken, high valuable investment will become nothing. When a palace is forsaken, that means a place of beauty, a place of glory, a place of glamour, it becomes desolate, becomes an abandoned property. Why? Because the presence of the Holy Spirit is not there. That's how our lives are. Our lives were designed. God created our lives to be beautiful. God created our lives to be majestic, to be carriers of His glory. But when the presence of the Holy Spirit is not there, they are ugly. They are desolate. Hallelujah. Look at verse 15. Until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high. Until all of this ugliness, like just like it was at the very beginning that we read when the whole world was in darkness, without form and void and emptiness, a bottom one, I think it's a Message translation, described as a bottomless emptiness, a soup of nothingness, he calls it. That's how a life is when the Holy Spirit is not given his rightful place there. He says that ugliness will remain until the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is poured upon us from on high. And then when the Holy Spirit is poured upon us from on high, the wilderness will become a fruitful field. And the fruitful field will become counted as a valuable forest. That means God will make something beautiful out of your life. When you make room for the Holy Spirit, God will make something beautiful out of your life. Somebody say this with me tonight. Make this a confession of faith. Say, God will make something beautiful out of my life. In fact, let's say it like it is already happening. Say, God is making something beautiful out of my life by the Holy Spirit. Say it one more time. God is making something beautiful out of my life by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Look at it. Look at it. Even the peace, that peace that we've been promised, it comes from the work of the Holy Spirit. That peace, the solace, the quietness, comes from the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That refreshing comes with His peace. The refreshing, the coolness, the comforting, it comes with His peace. It's because we have the presence of the Holy Spirit. Look at these next few verses here, verse 16. I'm reading Isaiah chapter 32, verse 16. Then justice will dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. Verse 17, the work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Look at verse 18. My people will dwell in a peaceful habitation because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. My people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings and in quiet resting places. My people will dwell in a peaceful habitation. Your home will be filled with peace. When you lie down, you will have peace. When you rise up, you will have peace. When you go out, you will have peace. When you come in, you will have peace. The peace of God that passes all human understanding will be your covenant heritage. All evil beasts will be displaced out of your dwelling places in the name of Jesus. You will not be agitated. You will not be troubled. You will not be threatened. You will not be intimidated. Why? Because your habitation will be full of peace. Look at it. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 18. My people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. Oh, that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit, my friends. He brings peace to our habitation. He secures our dwelling places. He brings quietness and rest all around us. There'll be rest on every side. Why? Because of the presence and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Look at Psalms 104 and verse 30. Psalms 104 and verse 30. We're talking tonight about the ministry, the person, the presence and the ministry of the Holy Spirit that brings a refreshing. My friends, if you want to have a year full of refreshing in 2025, you've got to hook up. You've got to connect strongly with the Holy Spirit. It will not be enough to do it one day in a week, 2 days in a week, when you go to church on Sunday. No, that will not be enough. That will not be enough. If we want to have the peace that God has promised us, the quietness, the resting places that God has assured us, He has made available to us in 2025, we must work closely, intimately with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Look at Psalm 104 and verse 30. Let's read this from the Amplified. Psalm 104 and verse 30. When you send forth your spirit, you give them breath. Hallelujah. You know, the Holy Spirit is the Ruach of God. He's the breath of God. He's the wind of God. When you send forth your spirit, you give them breath. Then they are created. So things that have been destroyed become restored, become recreated. They are created and you replenish the face of the ground. You replenish the face of the ground. When you send your spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes, there's a replenishing. When the Holy Spirit comes, there's a repairing. Amen. Breaches that have been created, walls that have been broken down, there's a repairing. There's a repairing. Lives that have been broken down and tormented by the heat in the world, the heat that Satan creates, they are repaired. They are restored. They are raised up again. They receive a replenishing. They receive a refreshing. Suddenly there will be joy again. Hallelujah. Where there were hard words being exchanged, where there were terrible words and bad vibes being spread like a foul aroma in homes, in families, in ministries, the Holy Spirit will bring a cleansing, a comforting. He will bring the aroma of God, a sweet smell, sweet fragrance from the presence of God. Hallelujah. My friends, if we want to enjoy the peace that God has promised us this year, if we want to enjoy the rest, the quietness that God has promised us, in spite of all the turmoil in the world, you will not know it. You will not feel it. It will not come near you. You will hear about it. You will see it in the news, but it will not come near you. There will be shalom all around you. Peace. There'll be peace. When you lie down, you will have peace. When you rise up, you will have peace. You'll be surrounded by the peace of God. And refreshing waters in a dry, thirsty land. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I like one of the last lines in our 2025 confession. It says, waters will break out. You know, then the limp person will leap as a deer. Waters will break out in the wilderness, in the desert. All of that is the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Let's read together from Isaiah chapter 35. I'm going to read this from the Message translation. Isaiah chapter 35. And let's read from verse 3 to verse 7. Let's read this out of the Message. Isaiah chapter 35. Let's read Isaiah chapter 35 from verse 3 to verse 7 in the Message translation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah chapter 35 from verse 3. Energize the limp hands. Strengthen the rubbery knees. That is weak hands. Strengthen the rubbery knees that are flailing, that are weak, that are tired. Strengthen them. Energize them. Verse 4. Isaiah 35 verse 4. Tell the fearful souls, those that are full of fear because of all the evil going on in the world. Tell the fearful souls, courage. Take heart. God is here, right here. He is on his way to put things right and redress all wrongs. He is on his way. He will save you. Tell the fearful hearts, take heart. Be courageous. God is on his way. The Holy Spirit is here. He said, God is on his way. He is right here. God is here, right here. He is on his way to put things right and redress all wrongs. He is on his way. He will save you. And that's verse 4. Then he says in verse 5, Isaiah 35, verse 5, blind eyes will be opened. Deaf ears will be unstopped. Verse 6, lame men and women will leap like the deer. The voiceless will break into singing, into song. Springs of water will burst out. Springs of water will burst out in the wilderness. Streams will flow in the desert places. See, that's it. Waters will break out in the desert. Waters will break out in the desert. Hallelujah. Waters will break out in the desert. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Waters will break out in the desert. Look at that in the New King James Version. Then verse 5 says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer and the tongue of the dumb will sing. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool. The dry ground will become a pool. That's verse 7. The parched ground will become a pool and the thirsty land will become springs of water. The thirsty land will become springs of water. Why? Because of the presence and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The parched grounds, the dryness will be gone forever. Look at this. The dryness will be gone forever. Look at it in the Amplified, the burning, verse 7, Isaiah 35, verse 7. And the burning sand and the mirage shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground will become springs of water. Hallelujah. When the Holy Spirit comes, when we make room for the presence of God, for the Holy Spirit, and we walk closely with him, refreshing, even when there was dryness, the Holy Spirit brings a refreshing. The Holy Spirit brings a refreshing, and waters will break out in the desert. Waters will break out in the desert. I love it. I love it. It's one of the lines in our 2025 Confessions. Waters will break out in the desert. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 6. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, as a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. Waters will break out for you in the desert. Waters will break out for you in the desert. In the name of Jesus, by the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life in 2025, waters will break out for you in the desert. Waters will break out for you in the desert. Where they have said this is dry land, nothing good happens here. Where they have said anything they plant here never grows, it always dies. In the name of Jesus, waters will break out for you in the desert. In the name of Jesus, by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, by the activity of the Comforter, waters will break out for you in the desert in the name of Jesus. Indeed, this will be a year of uncommon breakouts for you. Waters will break out in your desert. Anything you have done in the past that has not produced, any investments you have made, any things you have tried, doors you have knocked upon, situations of dryness and situations of failure and situations of unproductivity that you may have experienced, miscarriages and aborted dreams, aborted fruits, and miscarried blessings. In the name of Jesus, waters will break out for you in the desert. Fruitfulness will return. I declare to you, fruitfulness is returning to your life. Fruitfulness is returning to your life. And what used to be called a desert that had no value will suddenly become a forest that is lush, lush with green, lush with vegetation. Why? Because of the activity of the Holy Spirit. There'll be refreshing. There'll be blessings. There'll be dew of heaven. There'll be life forevermore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I like it when the psalmist, you remember the psalmist in Psalm 23, is that popular psalm that we all know. He leads me beside the still waters. He leads me. He leads me. He makes me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. When the Holy Spirit leads, when the Holy Spirit guides, when the Holy Spirit directs, you will be around green pastures. You'll be around still waters. You'll be restored. You'll be replenished. You'll be refreshed. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Remember how Jesus in the New Testament used the analogy of water to represent the Holy Spirit. First, in John chapter 4, when he was ministering to that woman, that Samaritan woman, you remember how he talked about, if you drink this water that I'll give to you, you will never thirst again. And the woman said, you don't even have a bucket. You don't have, how are you going to draw water? He says, let's read that together. In John chapter 4, let's read verses 10 and 13 together. John chapter 4, verses 10 and 13. Hallelujah. John chapter 4, verses 10 and 13. I'm going to read this from the New King James. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. That's the Holy Spirit. Wells of water in the life of a human are generated by the Holy Spirit. But that also shows us that there are levels of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit can be a well, right? A well is great. You can go there and dig and try to and get buckets of water when you need it. But on the other hand, the Holy Spirit can also be a river. It can be a river of living waters. So you are not measuring in buckets. You are just swimming in the river. That's measures. Those are measures of peace. Those are measures of dominion. Those are measures of quietness. Those are measures of rest. Like you are not using, you are not measuring in buckets and in small little cups. No. You are just swimming in it. It's abundant. That's abundant life. It's nyafu nyafu. You are just swimming. It's to the full until it overflows. The rivers of living water. You know, in the Gospel of John, Jesus used these two analogies. So here in John 4:10, he says, if you knew who it is that says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And in verse 13, Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water, this particular well of Jacob he was talking about, will thirst again. But in verse 14, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him, that's the Holy Spirit, he will never thirst. He will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. To be a well, a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. That's a type of the Holy Spirit. When you have the Holy Spirit, you will not thirst. There will be no dryness. All dryness will be eradicated from your life. All dryness will be completely eradicated. You can't have stress. You can't, I like that part of our confession. No stress. No weakness. No sickness. No burnout. No dryness. No dryness. Hallelujah. Somebody say with me, dryness is over forever. Say, dryness in every form is over for me forever because of the presence and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in my life. He said, the water that I will give, you will never thirst if you drink of that water, because the water that I will give will become in him a well or a fountain of water springing into everlasting life. That's the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And you know, of course, also in John 7, when he was talking more about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, He did not compare the Holy Spirit to wells of water. He didn't compare the Holy Spirit to a fountain of water. He compares the Holy Spirit to rivers. John chapter 7 and verse 37. Verse 37 and verse 38. John chapter 7. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Glory to God. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers, 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 rivers. This is not fountain now. This is not well that you have to get a bucket. You have to get a cup to scoop. No, it will be rivers, 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 rivers of refreshing. Rivers, 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 rivers of revival. Rivers of living water. Verse 39. But this he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet magnified. When we give the Holy Spirit his place in our lives, my friend, when we give the Holy Spirit his rightful place in our lives, life will be different. Life will be completely different. Knowing God more intimately. I want to read a section there, just a couple of pages. I love this. Hallelujah. Look at this. The Holy Spirit is a person, and he has a personality. He can be welcomed. He can be received. He can be celebrated. He can be entertained. Or he can be grieved. He can be resisted. He can be denied. And he can be suppressed. Our closeness to God is largely dependent on our strong partnership and close fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. As we have already discussed in earlier pages of this book, the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us access to the Father. And everything the Father seeks to invest in our lives is released to us from the Lord Jesus Christ through the agency of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God the Father and God the Son dwelling presently in every believer today. He is the greater one who lives in us. Hallelujah. Rivers of living water. Listen to this now. Rivers of living water flow from the Holy Spirit within every believer. It is impossible to experience spiritual dryness when the Holy Spirit is given unbridled access to our lives. I've got to read that one again. It is rivers of living water flow from the Holy Spirit within every believer. It is impossible to experience spiritual dryness when the Holy Spirit is given unbridled access to our lives. Rivers of joy, grace, peace, faith, power, prayer, supplication, prophecy, prosperity, revelation, and wisdom all flow from the Holy Spirit into the life of every child of God who acknowledges his presence and yields to him. Beloved, as I close tonight, I'm inviting you to a closer walk with the Holy Spirit, to a more intimate partnership with the Holy Spirit. Every day, every day, every day, long after this Daniel fast is over, that every day you and I continue to walk closely, intimately with the Holy Spirit. Every day, every day. And if we do, times of refreshing from the presence of the Father, the blessings of the dew of heaven, to bring revival, to bring refreshing and coolness from the effect of heat, will continually be our experience. Our dwelling places will be full of the peace of God. We will have rest on every side. The glory of God will rest upon our lives. There may be turmoil and turbulence in the world, but we will only see it. We'll see it and hear about it. It will not come near our dwelling place. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you so much. We give you the glory and the praise. Thank you for the mighty Holy Spirit. Oh, the refreshing of God. We yield to you today, tonight, precious Holy Spirit. Have your way in our lives. Not just tonight, but every day this year. Every day into our future. We seek to know you more. We seek to walk closely, more closely with you. We give you the glory and we give you the praise. You alone deserve it. You alone deserve it. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I congratulate you for being a part of this Daniel fast. Your life will never be the same again. Glory to God. You will never, ever know dryness again, ever in your life. In the name of Jesus, the Lord will visit you. The presence of God will envelop you and carry you right throughout this year in Jesus' mighty name. Well, we're out of time. I got to stop now. I didn't know I was going to go on for this long. I'm going to stop. Remember, we're going to take a break for the next couple of weeks or so. And by God's grace, we'll come back in sometime before the end of February. But enjoy. Get some rest from the fast. Finish the devotional on Common Wisdom devotional. Don't stop halfway. Don't stop at day 21. Now go all the way to the end. Finish up the book. You know, so you have time on your Wednesday evenings. Study, revisit some of the things that we've done. Rest, refresh you and your family. Spend some good times. And if you are by yourself, have a good time with the Lord and be fresh and rest and be replenished with the dew of heaven. In Jesus' mighty name. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you soon. God bless you. Good night.